If you freaking don't want to fight, then you freaking might as well stop right now. Are you going to stop fighting? You're behind in this fight. Damn it. Take this. You're behind in this fight. You're not listening. You got 12 minutes left. That's 4 rounds. What you do in the next 12 minutes, you're going to have to live with for the next 10, 20, 30, 40 years of your life. Your little son, he's not going to be told that his son beat Holyfield. He's going to be told he beat lost to a guy named Bolter. Who was brought up with no talent. You understand? Anything you feel, he's feeling the same if it works. You're just not digging. You hear me? And you can't talk about all the things you talk about if you don't perform. Now listen, do you want to live with that the rest of your life?
No.
Michael, it's going to happen. You got 12 minutes. You're behind. You understand? It's got to start here.
Yes, yes, yes. We're back. Episode 39.
39
of Knock 'Em Out the Box. My name is Vinny Paz. I'm here with my co-host, with the co-most, all the way in New York City, the left, right, left kid, Brandon Long.
Well, the suburbs, kid? Yeah, I'm here. I'm here, baby.
On
I'm
the here. Island.
I'm not dead.
You're not dead.
I thought I was going to die last night, boy.
Yeah, you did.
Couple times. But I
Billy told me you were out, and I was like, all right, he must be dead. So
I was trying.
All right, we diving right in here?
Let's go, man. I got my fucking swimmies on.
All right. Tyson Fury.
Oh, he's getting on my fucking nerves, this dude.
Mine too. Says the Joshua fight off. Looks like we're getting Manuel Char, who I thought retired 2 decades ago. Surprisingly, he's much younger than I thought. He's not young, but he's much younger than I thought. If we were just talking...
43. How's he?
Oh, what I said 38. Okay, so that's...
No. I thought you were going to say, how old did I think he is?
No, if we were just talking and guessed, I would say he was pushing 50.
Okay, I would have said 43.
He must have fought Klitschko when he was a kid.
He's 38.
That's what I saw.
In Cuban years?
Right.
Yeah.
So
Tyson Fury then, I think, what was it, today? I don't know. He cut another promo on everybody. He's fucking annoying. He's getting on my fucking nerves.
You and I had said that we think he might be slipping up in regards to his personal life.
Maybe.
There's a video floating around where if he's sober in this video floating around, then
the one from France?
Then I'm the king of Scotland.
The one from he's like in Nice.
Is that where he's running?
He's kicking a cab.
No. He's given an interview and he's whacked out of his mind. I think it was him at the Joe Joyce fight.
He's
in like a light colored suit.
Joe Joyce said, let's get it on if you're not going to fight AJ. That's what I'm talking about. And he's like, oh, you got to make a bigger name for yourself.
I'm going to play it on the air. It's 27 seconds. I don't know how much. It's very visual, you know, so I don't know.
Will this Billy allow it?
Final question for you. You've said that you want the deal with AJ to be done by the end of Monday.
Monday is the deadline. If they don't sign the contract by Monday, he's out the window and he'll be exposed to the shit he is.
He's a shit house. That's his shit house.
Yeah. So
it's a shit house.
It's more visual. I'll send it to you.
Cool.
You know, the our listeners can look it up.
Do a little work yourselves, all right? We can't do everything for you.
A listener of ours wrote and tagged us in that and wrote, Vinny and B called this weeks ago. They had felt Fury was bang on the bugle again.
I didn't know what that meant.
This pretty much confirms it. Yeah, he's doing coke is what it means, according to this guy. Not
us. I'm going to start saying that. Oh, you've been banging on the old bugle?
Right, right. Look, whatever fight comes, if he fights in December, it's going to be one that you and I don't care about. You know, it seems like whatever he does over there will be well attended and well watched.
Sure.
You know, I don't give a fuck about a guy who that is looked at as what 1B, if Usyk is 1A, and 1B is fighting someone who got battered by a Klitschko 40 years ago, you know, and hasn't done anything since or really before.
Before, right. He's an opponent.
Yeah. All right, B, there's a lot of stuff to get to. Josh Taylor and Catterall can't find a venue, which is odd. It's a weird, I don't want to use the word excuse. That just can't be, B. There's something there that we don't know.
I think there's something. They said something's booked for what they originally had. The site fee's too high. They don't think that there's public interest. They're trying to find something smaller now.
Yeah. Yeah. I think if everything that these two are saying, you take all of that in stride, take the smaller venue, a theater type venue.
I know, just do it in Eddie's backyard.
Yeah, make the fight happen and move on. Yeah, Eddie's backyard was beautiful like during the COVID.
His garden.
Something terrible. Buddy Harrison shot and killed in D.C., Dusty Harrison's father.
Yeah.
The guy was in his 60s. I don't know how or why that happens. You know, was it?
What
have you heard and why? Let's shine some light on it, please.
One of my close friends who actually fought Buddy, was very close. Not Buddy, excuse me. I'm sorry. Fought Dusty. Remained close with the Harrisons. No one seems to know anything. And I don't want to speculate, especially on air. It seemed like a hit. Three guys, 11:30 in the morning, three guys dressed in black in what appears to be a stolen car from Ohio, hopped out. All three of them were armed. And I mean, if that doesn't sound like a hit to you.
Yeah. That's gangland shit.
Right. But the question is why.
Right.
He did a dime in the joint a long time ago for armed robbery. But from everything I saw, he was like one of them dudes that like got out of jail and stayed in the hood and just like helped everybody. But
I think what happens there, B, is like the question of, can you ever really get out? You know, if you stay around.
So one of my other close friends, there's two gyms, the gym that Buddy actually trains at. And then there's the sister gym. My buddy trains at the sister gym, and which is like kind of like more of like a little bit of a white collar feel. But there's pros in it, and it's a tough sparring gym still. Like the one that Buddy trains at is in the neighborhood of DC called Southeast. And that's like equivalent to, you know, Kensington, North Philly, Brownsville, East New York. Like he basically said, like, I don't go to Southeast unless I have to. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like there's no reason to go there, like where Buddy lived and trained fighters. So, yeah, like, I mean, he lived and stayed from everything I've heard in a very dangerous neighborhood. So, like, I don't know anything really about D.C. other than the touristy stuff and some of the stuff near Georgetown, you know, restaurants, bars, et cetera.
Yeah, as much as I've performed there, I've never been
like out and about.
I've driven through parts that are bad, like the same with Baltimore. The venue we play in Baltimore is in the shit. It's in
neighborhood. I've gone out of like, Inner Harbor into like kind of shitty neighborhoods in Baltimore too. But DC for whatever reason, maybe it's a stigma with DC. Like I just stuck to the script every time I'm there. My cousins live down there.
There's cities like that with me too. You know, you just stick to the script in these certain spots, especially if you're with your wife, you know?
Right. I don't know. I mean, really sad and good trainer, and DC's got it's a fighting city, a tough city.
Yeah, it's bad, man. It's bad. It's
really sad. I feel bad for them. What a shame.
Yeah.
The guy really seemed to love boxing and training fighters, and I don't know the deal with Dusty, what's going on with him. I know he gained a ton of weight. I know he got knocked on a gun charge, I think. So I don't know if he's in the life. I don't know. I really don't. I don't want to speculate.
When I saw what happened, it sort of, you know how you go down rabbit holes.
Right.
It obviously, being his father, led me to Dusty. It appears like he's been in the gym and lost all the weight.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think he's
so
down,
I don't know.
I don't think he's down to 47.
No. I think if he put on like 100 pounds.
I think he's fighting it like light heavy. But he's a good boy.
Yeah.
He is fighting, I believe, this upcoming weekend in like a really small, I think it's like a.
Yes.
Like a, you know, like a rat, like not a, I don't want to say a tournament, but like a showcase.
He
with
is.
Like a bunch of six rounders, probably.
Yeah. Locals, there's sort of the vibe of like my father would have wanted me to not pull out of the fight. You know what I mean? That's sort of the.
Yeah. I mean,
the vibe that I'm getting from it, but that's tough.
Mm-hmm.
That's
sad.
You and I don't know how much on the air we've talked about it. I have a genuine disdain for Deontay Wilder. A lot of it comes from the delusion and the clear delusion.
Right.
So a lot of times you and I will talk about it, whether it's rappers, whether it's producers, whether it's boxers. Where does this come from? Were they always like this? So I have a quote from Shelley Finkel that I'm not sure how you're going to react to. Deep in my heart, I believe Dante Wilder could beat Tyson Fury. He hasn't shown it, and Fury executed his plan. I have a lot of respect for Fury. The man has conquered a lot and risen to the top. My hat's off to him. So I don't even know what that means or where you could what you could possibly see.
He lost all three fights
and got parked in two of them.
Right.
Let's follow up before we really go. Deontay Wilder, I'm a Hall of Famer right now.
Yeah, dude, I've been seeing this
argument.
I already
know
like
when
everywhere.
I'm done competing, I'm automatically in the Boxing Hall of Fame, no questions asked. If not, I'll be very surprised. I mean, this guy is cooked. I don't know if it's shots to the head.
You know what, though? Like, I get his – do I think he deserves it? No. But do I think he'll get in? Yes. Because there's – it like
if
like
you
all
start
of,
naming wonky guys that got in, I will give you clear-cut reasons why they're in.
Okay.
Even though you disagree. If you go, Arturo Gatti shouldn't be in. Biggest draw maybe ever on the East Coast. Wars that are still talked about.
But again, in other Hall of Fames, you have popular players that don't get in based on, you know, the Hall of Fame is supposed to be based on merit alone.
Okay. But you know what I mean? Is the angle of Wilder? If you that, say, who did Gotti beat? I'll name really good guys he beat. What's his best win? A 90-year-old Ortiz twice?
I don't think he should be in. Okay, but I'm glad you said Gotti because it's the best example. The second best example is a guy that you brought up, Cotto. You know, what is Cotto's best win? Old Shane Mosley, Zab at 47,
and
two losses.
I don't think he should be in.
Right, but he is. You understand what I'm saying? So,
but Cotto's resume is more impressive than Deontay Wilder.
Correct.
Arturo Gatti's entire body of work is more, bro. People forget like the Gatti at 30 and 35. Like just forget about him. The Tracy Patterson, the Ruelas fight.
Because at those weights, he also lost three in a row. You know what I mean? And he forgot about himself. Stopped training. You know what I mean? Wasn't disciplined. There's a lot.
You're talking about a guy who had essentially three careers, definitely two.
Absolutely. So what I'm getting at is. The criteria that they'll say, not what I'll say, okay? This is devil's advocate shit. They'll say, I think he knocked out like 38 of 30. Like, okay, I'll give you an example. I listened to the Tom Segura's podcast.
Okay.
He had Rogan on the other day.
Okay.
Rogan sitting in for Bert Kreischer.
Okay.
And they're talking about, and fuck. I can't remember the guy's name. He's like the best UFC guy, I think.
Okay.
Ngannou.
Now or ever?
Now. So
okay.
But anyway, they just like measured like the they did like the Drago shit on how he punches.
Uh-huh.
And that guy throws like the hardest recorded punch
okay
ever. And okay, like he grew up in like, I don't know, I want to say Western Africa, in like a, like one of those crazy ass stories, like he was in a sand mine, working a sand mine when he was like 5 years old.
Yeah,
six,
yeah,
seven. Like
I know actually to, now that you're saying all this, who the guy is. I've
had
seen
to, had to hike to Morocco to like get yeah out of, you know, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Crazy as shit. Anyway, yeah. I didn't know any of this until that podcast yeah the other day. So Rogan then cites Deontay Wilder as an automatic shoe-in for the Boxing Hall of Fame, and that he is like arguably the hardest puncher. And then went on to cite, you know, 38 of his first 39 opponents. He knocked out, you know, under however many rounds, whatever. So what I'm saying is, not that Rogan's an expert on boxing. He knows enough about it, right?
Joe but, knows boxing.
Right. So what I'm saying is, to a lot of people, that's impressive, right? So there are going to be people in the press and the media that's impressive. And that criteria they'll use. And I'll bet you dollars to donuts he gets in.
I have two retorts to that.
It's not, again, this isn't, I'm saying.
I know it's devil's yeah advocate. I'm right saying.
I'm thinking.
But
he
as
gets
playing
in
devil's advocate, you're playing devil's advocate in lieu of what a lot of people are saying. When correct, okay, correct said there's no way he should be in.
I don't think
he should
be either.
And him and I started arguing with people. The ugliness of tribalism came out in terms of correct tweet and who we were arguing with, mm-hmm, you know, but that's a whole other topic for another show that we said we might do one day. You know, the Italian support of guys like Graziano, Marciano, Tony Zale, you know, mm-hmm, the Boricua support of everyone from the island, from Benitez to, you know what I mean, to New Eureka, right, like Camacho, and the tribalism associated with it, you know what I mean? But we saw the ugliness of that, correct, and I did come out of this. Here's, I'm just going to retort, this isn't to you, it's you playing devil's advocate and me answering anyone that's listening and think it should be. First off, if we're going on that, then guys like Edison Miranda should be in. Guys like Ernie Shavers should be in.
Ernie Shavers should be in.
He should be in.
And I'm surprised he's not. But he never held. But he never held a world title.
I know, but he'd be real guys.
But the
man
era he fought in, I understand. But what I'm saying is, when you boil it down, he never had a world title. Wilder did. Go ahead.
So that's A. My B is, and we're gonna end it with this. Unless you have more to say, move on.
I don't want to spend that much more time on.
Okay, so I'm gonna end it with this. If Deontay Wilder is in or goes in, Brian Nielsen should be in.
Brian Nielsen?
Yes.
Okay.
He at one point was what, 48-0 or 49-0 before fighting Tyson?
Okay.
Was that his first loss when Mike battered him over there?
Was it? I don't know.
I'm moving on to the next thing rather than look it up.
Okay. Is Frank Bruno in?
No. Speaking of what I was just talking about,
the Hall of Fame.
Andre Ward on Eddie Hearn saying he doubts Alexander Usyk would lose a round versus Deontay Wilder. This is Andre Ward speaking. Yeah, right. That right hand is going to land at some point. Rounds will be won by Wilder. So that's.
I actually quoted that tweet and I said this tweet won't age well.
You did.
You
did. I retweeted it because I agree with that.
Thanks. Appreciate the retweet, bro.
David Benavidez on his PBC rivals. I'm trying to make a fight with Caleb Plant, with David Morrell, Jamal Charlo. I feel like the company, we're just making each other look fucking stupid because nobody's fighting each other and everybody fucking wants a tune-up. I've been professional now 10 years. I want a fucking big fight. I want a tough fight, 50-50. I'll accept any challenge. These fights are all 50-50. Nothing is guaranteed, but I want the challenge. I want to prove to the world I'm the best. Look, that's all you can say as
right
a guy. That's all you can do. I look, unlike other fighters from all weight classes, most of them. I don't believe them when they say it.
Right.
Benavidez is a goon. I haven't just watched his whole career. I met him in Philly and talked to him when he fought at the ECW arena. Good kid. Really affable, but absolutely goon auras. You know, like, you know when someone is polite, but they're not fucking playing, you know, because and I were raised that tough guy shit goes to the waist. That first and foremost comes etiquette.
Mm-hmm.
And I know for me, see, you behave like an animal. With me, I've always dealt with mistaken kindness for a weakness.
Let me tell you something.
And a lot of those punches in the face
I take exception to this, to that little jab. That little jab you just tried to—you tried to slip that in. You just tried
hey,
to.
Hey yo. Billy, I'd say 65. I'd say 65% of the beatings I've given out were due to that. The other 35 were, I'll put it in the other category.
But I don't understand why you had to just say what you said. Call me an animal.
I didn't. It's just.
We don't.
I must have been talking about something else.
We are not animal. You got to go home. You got to go home. no one gets that. You get it. This fucking Billy didn't get it. He's never seen Goodfellas. I have a fucking problem with people being impolite. I don't like it. It's unnecessary. Sometimes it blows me away when people are like blatantly impolite and rude.
Me too.
And I'm like,
me too.
What?
But historically speaking, I can only speak for me. I always know they're soft. Always worry about the polite guy in the corner buying everyone drinks. Never worry about the little doggy that's barking. As the great Michael Madsen said, are you going to bark? Bark all day, little doggy?
Are you going to bite?
The great Michael Madsen. The
guy could deliver a line.
He could. He still can. I would think. I don't know where he is.
Where is Michael Madsen?
I don't know. Let's get
He's
him
a fight
his,
fan.
He is.
He and should his, be our first
and,
guest.
And his sister was hot in her
Virginia?
Prime. Woo!
I can't believe they're related.
Neither can I.
That straight up, like...
Maybe different mothers?
I don't know. He definitely banged all of her friends when they were growing
up. Oh, can you imagine? Can you imagine? I wonder how old he is and how old she is.
Maybe if Billy was paying attention, he hit the Google machine.
No, I can do it. I mean, you're useless as tits on a bull. I'm trying to host.
I'm using the phone to record.
Is that
this
what's
show.
Going on?
Yeah.
Is that what's going on?
Yeah, sorry.
Take a guess at how old this Madsen is.
62.
All right.
How old is he?
65.
Good. It's close. How old's his sister?
Looking. How old do you think she is? I'm going to say 55.
Then I don't think that there was bangings going on.
No, I said I'm going to guess.
All right.
What do
60,
you guess?
60. She's got to be 60, right?
61.
She's 61.
She just turned 61 on September 11th. So you're almost right on the dot.
He banged all of her friends.
Absolutely.
Every single one of them.
Absolutely. Jeez, it's crazy to think she's that far removed from her prime. Jeez.
Dude, here's the deal. It's 2022.
Someone Does your said, wife listen to our stupid show?
No, dude. She gets
like skeeved. Absolutely not.
She gets skeeved out by like me. Like she has an ish. Like she's like it's awkward for me to listen to this.
I understand why, talk. But I was gonna say how far removed from their prime women are. But if V hears it, she'll kill me. So I'm just gonna stay quiet.
She might just kill you anyway.
Yeah, probably do your bidding. Look, so this Dan Rayfield bozo. Reports.
Why is he is he still relevant? Who does he write for?
I don't know.
He doesn't have
I don't
a good know. Podcast.
He has me blocked. So everything
really?
Gets, yeah.
He blocked you?
Yeah. Because after I told you I almost slapped him and my brother stopped me, I didn't let well enough. I didn't leave well enough alone.
And you trolled him?
I didn't troll him. I believe the trolling is. What I understand trolling to be, again, it's that's a generational thing.
No, did you
like,
troll him after the fact?
No, let me explain myself to you. What I see trolling is doing is people talking crazy to people that they would never do something to. Am I trolling him if I would go up in his mouth in real life? Is that trolling?
Yeah. You can still troll somebody. That's real life trolling, I think.
Okay, see, I didn't correct me. I thought it meant like you talk crazy to people from like accounts and you don't show your face or your name or your location.
I think it's a broad description. I think you control people.
Someone write
still
it, someone write in on the to the mail and explain to us who's close.
You know that Michael Montero? May
or be. Yeah.
Yeah, he blocked me. I called him.
Okay.
He blocked
me. So basically I was like, yo, I was gonna slap the dog shit out you at Paul Williams, Eris Landy Lada, but my brother stopped me. But if my brother's not there, that's not gonna happen.
Blocked.
Blizzocked. So you could do the math in your head to whenever that fight was.
I got a lot of writers blocked me.
Oh, you're very cantankerous.
Oh, I like that. It's a good SAT word, cantankerous. It's true. And when I was younger, before kids, I was much more so.
Yeah.
And when I used to go to the fights all the time, if someone fucking talked greasy to me on the old Twitsky, I would bring it up to their face. And then I'd mysteriously be either unfriended or blocked.
Well, I already told you that one kid's gonna get a bad one at the next New York fight that you and I go to together. There's two dudes with the same name.
Yeah.
And I'm like, is that the kid Jimmy's? And you're like, no, you're like, no, he's cool. He's
no, he's not. You don't like the one that I like, and I don't like the one that you like.
The one you like talked crazy to me.
Yes, he did, and I don't talk to him anymore because of it. But what I'm saying,
said you like him, but he's gonna get a beating. No. Right. Let me hold on. Let me refresh. Let me click the refresh button, but instead of on a computer in real life, the kid that I told you I liked, that group of kids, I take it back. They're all dorks. And when I say dorks, I don't mean like the flippant way me and you say it. I mean like they're like Revenge of the Nerds people.
Yo.
And they all talk like a prime Fonzarelli, bro, on Twitter. Yo, no, Which pops me.
Well, what happened was I went down there.
Okay.
This is a long time ago.
Where? To the bar?
Yeah.
And describe the bar to people that aren't?
It's a fucking.
Explain Jimmy's.
It's about 60 feet long.
I think your volume just went, unless I hit
Billy, can
mic.
You hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Right. Nothing happened, Billy?
I don't think so.
I moved my Guns and Ammo magazine, and it hit the little volume button.
All right, now you just took the air out of that story.
No, I didn't. It was good. Tell them about the bar.
All right, it's about 60 feet long, maybe more, and about 1 foot wide.
It's true.
They can fit stools on a back wall. It smells like the bottom of a dumpster and a hobo combined. The hobo at the bottom of a dumpster, but it's the best. It's a great place. Beer's ice cold. Bathrooms are, it's not as bad as CB's, but it's close. Mm-hmm. CB's is my benchmark for bad bathrooms.
They had nerve calling it a bathroom. It should be called CB's. Yeah.
Yeah, it's gross. Fucking filthy.
Yeah. I won't use the bathroom in Jimmy's, and I never would in CB's. I would go outside. Well, what I would do, I would just hold it until the garden.
Yo, the pits was, if you went into CB's and someone was pooping in there, I'd be like, what are you doing? There was
I had to drop deuce while Michael Buffer was saying, let's get ready to rumble at Cotto Mosley.
Really?
And my brother was like, you can't do it. I'm like, I gotta hold it.
In the garden?
So I ran, and the only reason I did it is because I knew there wouldn't be one soul in there, because Buffer was saying, let's get ready to rumble. So it was like a ghost town. And I'm gonna stop the story short there.
Anyway, so I went to Jimmy's, and I was with like a mutual friend of the group we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And I introduced myself as the guy that they were trying to shit on the thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like,
you never told me those dudes were shitting on you. You defended the one dude, said he's all right.
No, the one you
this
don't
dude, like. This dude.
Mm. Yeah, he was.
You said he's all right.
I never spoke to that dude ever. There's three other dudes that were like, it was a thing. And I was like, yo, you said X, Y, and Z. What's up?
You never told me this.
Yes, I did. Numerous
times. You didn't. I'm really horny for the story, though. I love because I enjoy that.
It's more of like an off-air story. Because okay. it did.
I get you. No, a lot of this yeah. is.
It did get squashed, but I like if them dudes deny what the fuck happened, I'll you know, if they ever listen to this, they'd be like, nah, that's not how it fucking went down. It went down me basically going, yo, like I enjoy this kind of thing. So like what's up?
I couldn't agree with your sentiments more.
You guys said what you said. I'm here. So what did that exactly mean?
I agree.
What are you talking about? I pulled this shit up on my phone and I pushed it in front of the dude. And I was like, that, what does that mean? I said, I told you I was going to see you here.
Yeah.
And then there's another dude who's like a prominent boxing personality who fucking peeled. Cause I was like, that dude's the ringleader. And I was like, I'll dog slap him as soon as he fucking comes in. And then the dude was like, yo, he's right there. And I was like, oh, word. And I was a little fucking tuned up.
Mm-hmm.
And I step approached him.
Mm-hmm.
And he fucking beeline back to the garden.
But he legitimately dipped?
Yeah, he dipped.
Did you get to say anything or he saw you coming?
I was like, yo, what's up? Like,
and he just broke north?
That's it. I was like, all right. It was before the fights.
I support all that. I also think it's if there has ever been an instance, look, it's talked about all the time, not just by us, but how you behave on the interwebs and how you behave in real life. They exemplify it.
Sure.
These dudes we're talking about.
And then at, now I'll just say who I was with. I was with my homeboy, Brendan Woodside from Woodside,
mm-hmm.
Queens.
Mm-hmm.
And who the fuck else was that?
He sounds like a piece of work.
Cool cat. HVAC guy. Mm-hmm. And I was with the dude. Anyway, I was with my man from Harlem. The second time I ran into them dudes in Jimmy's, then everybody was peace. And it was like, yo, what up? And then them dudes were buying me drinks. And then that was at Crawford Mean Machine right before the pandemic. And everybody was peace. Then we went into the Crawford after party fight party. We walked over there, just walked into the shit.
Mm-hmm.
And them dudes were like, how'd you guys get in? And we're like, we just fucking walked in.
Yeah.
Walk in.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to name his name, but he made a few really good boxing documentaries. He asked me, he's like, yo, just cool it with them. And I was like, I bet. And I was like, I'm cool. That shit was years ago. Like, I'm fucking cool. He's like, yeah, because they're afraid.
Yeah. The reason it was,
and I'm not a big guy, by the way. I'm not, you know, I'm not like a fucking, you know what I'm saying? It's just
you're just sick in the head.
I just asked them what the fucking deal, like what the story was. That was all. Just said, yo, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm here, so we could.
The
talk
reason
it
was super peace with me is because another prominent guy in boxing from out of town was there, and we're close, so his.
Yeah.
Presence made them correct. All like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like the dude I'm talking about, like went on, used to follow me, then went on to the thing and fucking blocked me after I stepped to him. And then his boy, who's like the ultimate super nice guy, that dude didn't block me, but unfollowed me, but DM me and was like, yo, I got to unfollow you over that.
Yeah, yeah, because I don't want this to listen to this guy.
Right.
Yeah, well, the guy...
DM.
The guy I'm talking about that you used to like, these two guys have the same name, guys. If you're, that's why we're not saying anything, because it's two guys with the same name and we don't want to mix things up. Right? That guy's getting punched in his fucking mouth when we start going to these fights again.
The other guy...
But I don't know what he looks like. So, B, you got to be like, yo,
right.
That's him.
That's him.
Yeah.
Yeah, the other guy is like a nice, he's like a nice guy now, right?
Yes.
But he
yes.
wasn't. You understand what I'm saying? So, like.
Who, the guy I'm going to beat up or the other
no,
guy?
No, no. The guy you're going to beat up is not a nice guy.
Yeah, he's getting beat up.
The other guy who I didn't dig after the whole.
Yeah, that guy's fine. That guy's
no,
fine.
Now he is. With me, yeah. He wasn't though. You understand what I'm saying?
Okay. Yeah, like, yeah, he yeah, wasn't yeah, yeah. Fine. I got
and
you.
Just like you said, I seen him in person and I was like, oh my God. Like, this is that dude?
Yeah, man.
Like, I was like, okay.
That's like, their vibe, bro. That's their vibe. Which is shocking because you can get caught out there, man. But people don't think, it's not that they don't think they'll get caught out there because we go to the fights on the East Coast. Right. It's they don't think, they don't live that life, bro. They're not built like that.
Right.
They
my thing being, is like, you just
they think being fresh is like, oh, I was playing around, man. You're like, nah,
right.
Nah,
you got to
nah.
say that right away.
No,
you got to say I was playing around right away.
As soon as you say something slippery and I check you, if you say my bad, bro, I was playing, we're good.
Right.
But if you let it live, you're getting dog walked.
Right.
So when this all started for me, mentioned Dan Rayfield's name. He says Canelo Golovkin 3 did 550 to 575,000 U.S. buys. Eddie Hearn responded to that with 3 eye roll emojis, which popped right. me. And Eddie and DAZN are saying it did 1.06 million.
Right.
Which would be 1,060,000, not 1,600,000.
Right. That would be 1.6.
Yeah. Gervonta Davis set for a 2-day trial starting December 12th over that alleged hit and run in November 2020. I don't know why it's alleged. I guess the language has to be that way because
we covered it on this podcast, right?
Yeah, we did when it happened. A judge A judge today rejected a plea deal.
Rejection
that Gervonta had accepted, which would have allowed him to avoid jail time.
So he's going to jail.
Guys, he ran people over in like his
at Lamborghini. A bus stop.
It's not guesswork. I believe there is footage. It happened.
He's going to go to jail.
Look,
according to this.
Yeah. Now, what does that mean to guys that have money? It could mean 60 days. It could mean 30. It could mean two
Still
weeks.
Sucks.
I mean, dude, he ran people over. What do you?
I'm not saying.
What are you doing here? You're good for what?
Yeah, I heard he was boozing too.
Yes. Alexander Usyk has declared that he will have a maximum of 3 more fights before retiring from boxing.
He'll have 6.
He does not intend to keep fighting once he passes his peak and said his dream opponents would be Tyson Fury and Canelo Alvarez before a farewell in Ukraine. Usyk asked what he was thinking when Joshua threw his belts out of the ring. I thought, what a poor fool. He reminded me of a little boy who wanted to play with a ball, but it got taken from him, so he decided to throw it over the neighbor's fence. This is great.
Yeah.
We're upcoming. Frank Warren has won the purse bids for Demetrius Andre Zach Parker for the WBO interim super middleweight belt and is targeting November 5th for the bout. Mm-hmm. He won with a bid of just $305,000, and he was the only bidder. Update. Frank Warren has stated that he expects Demetrius Andre to pull out of the Zach Parker fight after he won the purse bids as the lone bidder.
Because he's only going to pay him $150,000.
He said John Ryder would be next in line to face Parker for the WBO interim super middleweight belt. This boo-boo might be cooked.
Dude,
I can't
let me tell
see
you something. Buddy, no one cares about you.
Nobody.
You're going to take short money and get in there now. And if you want your career to continue.
I would ask how old boo-boo is, but you're useless as tits on a bull, so I got to do that work.
He's 32.
You're sure of that?
33. I'm going 33. I think he's born in 1989.
I mean,
what do I got?
That's pretty young. He's 34, he'll be 35 soon. He'll be 35 early 2023.
Okay. He's old. Terrence Crawford just turned 35.
Yes.
Getting
and
there.
People keep talking about how Lomachenko is old. I'm like, why? So call him and Bud old. If Bud
is old.
Loma's Bud's a year old younger.
Bud's old, you
know? No, I'm saying we got to be consistent with that. You know what I mean?
Where's that same energy, as the kids say?
Yeah. The WBO now officially ordered Gennady Golovkin to defend the WBA and WBC middleweight world titles versus Erislandy Lara. Parties have 30 days until October 23rd. To agree.
What do you think about that?
What do I think about it? Is it a good fight, or what do I think will happen?
Nah, what do you think about as a good fight? Like, I got immediately people wrote me, and I was like, I think Lara's going to die.
Hey, listen. But listen, B, we talked about that thing a couple times. I don't know if it's ever been on since we've gone on the air where everyone could listen, or if it was on the Lost episodes. Sometimes you get guys a little long in the tooth, and if they're both long in the tooth, you might get some.
I just think Lara's got some pretty crappy punch resistance at this point.
He's chinny, and he's don't care what you say.
He's not 39.
Until he croaks. Golovkin's going to hit like a mule.
Yeah. I also don't think Lara's 39. When they said he was 39, I said, no.
Listen, man, we constantly make jokes about it. I want people to know.
Maybe it's like he's been a professional, or he's been a fighter for 39 years, and that's still right. Going on.
But B, back me up on this. When we make these jokes about Cuban's age, guys, they're not jokes. It's been
they lie.
Exposed various times.
Yeah.
Now, by everyone we say, has it been exposed? No, it's been exposed many times.
Right.
Baseball, there is no boxing. Data to support the numbers that they give because of the regime there.
I don't trust the commies.
Who does?
They're fake. I don't think some of these Russians are as young as they say they are. You see that, like, some of these guys, they're like, he's 21. I'm like, no, he's not.
No, bro, there's just guys that because of certain regimes.
Yeah.
And
I'm talking about the Ruskies, too.
Yeah, the Ruskies. Yeah. Well, I mean, look, I mean, and again, when you said 39, B, it's like one of those 39s where it's like at this age, you know, when you like how your kids are you have your kids are very young. So, you know how you still do like with the baby, you'll be like, she's 1.5. Like when people still do that, when you're like an old fighter, I still be doing the half shit. Like
he's 39 and a half.
He is, because he turned 39 in April.
He's 39.
Like, that's not.
He's 39
and
3/4.
That's like 6 months ago, right? That's like 6 months ago.
Yeah. So you're rounding.
If and when it gets made, he's going to be much closer to 40. Mm. You know what I mean? When they get in the ring, he's going to be close. But same with Golovkin too. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but Golovkin still has some semblance of punch resistance. I don't know how Lara's brain is.
He's got no zip on his shots, and Golovkin's got an iron chin, whether you think he's gone or not.
Right.
So if you're Triple G,
I don't think this one ends well for Lara at all.
He's going to do him dirty.
Right.
He's going to do him dirty. But unlike other fights, B, whether you might disagree with me on this. You probably will. But I'm going to disagree with you disagreeing. He's still a name at 60 where there aren't any.
Who is?
Lara.
Yeah, I know. It immediately got like fucking people sending me text messages. Oh, it's going to be sick. I'm like, sick?
No, it's not going to be sick. But if you think of everyone that's
sick, if you
60,
like watching people get the shit beaten out of them.
If you start looking at people in 60, they're either young, strong, undefeated.
Well, I'd like to see that fucking Charlo dipshit fucking fight Triple G. That would be a better fight.
That's never going to happen.
Nope.
You better hope. For the what's it called?
So, did you watch Canelo Triple G?
I did.
You did?
I did. You didn't?
Yeah, it was a pretty big fight. I watched it. I didn't go to Hooters.
Where did you go?
There's another bar. I'm not
when I saw
say
the
name.
Picture. All right, no, you don't
we're
have
at Hooters.
To, but I just yeah, absolutely.
Hooters was only putting it on 3 TVs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they had college football on and baseball. And we went to this other place. Well, my
what's the problem with that?
My buddy called it, what?
Why do you need more than 3 TVs?
Because if you're depending on the table you're at, you know what I'm saying? Like,
well, you go over there and you tell them, look, I'm with a 2-time world champion.
They don't care. They don't care. People did recognize them though when we were there. It was pretty funny. They're walking past and they see him sitting with a schlep like me.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh shit, that's, mm-hmm. you know, and then like, who's that guy? And I was like, fuck off. So we went to this other place.
What do you want to talk about here? All right, yeah.
Went to this other place, and they put it on every fucking TV.
How do you like them apples?
How do you like them apples? And they hooked us up with a couple of drinkskies. Mm-hmm. We had a good time. Where'd you watch it? You went out to a bar like me?
No, I went stayed at the crib.
Okay. Did you enjoy yourself? Did you watch it? You watched it, you concentrate?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting. It was a nice little commentary at the table. Bunch of guys talking shit.
If we wanted to, and I don't think we do, if we wanted to, we could go deep dive. And what I mean by that is,
I'm going to say stuff that's going to get people to write in.
Okay. I'm going to say that.
I'm going to say some controversial stuff about this fight.
Did you score it first off?
Yeah, 8-4.
116-112, correct?
Yeah.
That's what I had it. That's way too close for how Golovkin looked.
Correct. Correctamundo, my friend. So what I'm going to say right now is Canelo is on the downside of his career. He gassed, in my opinion. He early on, he looked good. Looked sharp. Jab was working.
Halfway through, meaning the sixth, I had it 5-1.
Me too.
So
I also want to just point out that the broadcast team, because they had the volume up really loud.
Mm-hmm.
This is why I mute the fucking shit. I was getting distracted by how bad they were, and I'll point to two times, and it happened on both with both fighters. Canelo ripped two beautiful mid rounds. I can't remember what round. Maybe the seventh.
Okay.
He ripped two beautiful uppercuts that Triple G, it stopped him dead in his tracks.
Mm-hmm.
The next round, Triple G ripped two uppercuts that stopped Canelo dead in his tracks. But they were both right hand, so backhand uppercuts while the other guy was walking in. Two really cute, sneaky shots that the whole fucking broadcast team missed, right? And only concentrated, like Triple G was having a nice moment. You know what I mean? When Canelo did it, and Canelo was having a nice moment when Triple G did it, right? And it would have been, I'm just concentrating on those two things because the whole table was like, what the fuck are these assholes watching? They weren't watching shit. Terrible, terrible fucking, the DAZN broadcast team, and I like Sergio, but it was bad. Grisham had an off night. Mannix always sucks. Like, yeah, that guy's so bad.
He's bad.
He's so bad.
I like Grisham, but I'll admit that I like him. So maybe there's some.
Yeah, he didn't have a good night. And guys, these guys have off nights. They're human. He had a bad night. He was saying like idioms wrong. You know what I mean?
He's a bit
for the theatrics, dramatic.
No, a bit. I can't think of how to articulate it. He's, what's the joke when you he's out kicking his coverage in regard to the sport.
Yeah, okay, I see what you're saying.
You know,
yeah.
I don't believe that he's
follows it or is
astute. Correct. Yeah. But I like Grisham.
Well, I mean, when they had Brian Kenny on, you could tell that, like, you know, this is years like. You know, a while back, you could tell Brian Kenny said stop watching the sport after he left ESPN.
See, I love Brian Kenny.
I do too.
I
loved Brian Kenny. You understand what I'm saying? When he was paying attention to the sport. But when he stopped, it was annoying because he was getting shit wrong. Anyway, what I'm gonna say, what's controversial is had that been a 15 rounder, Triple G wins. Triple G's surprised me. His stamina came on late. He got started late like he did with Murata. He looked cooked in the fifth or sixth round. And I'm not just saying this is my opinion. I'm sitting with arguably the best commentator of all time. I'm sitting with two other pro fighters. I'll drop names. Tommy Raynone, who's a good friend of mine, and Scotty Lopec, who fought ICE, who trains guys down here.
It wasn't good, man.
Everyone was like, holy shit, he looks terrible.
No, you know what I mean? Like, bad.
Canelo's going to finish this. You know, he's got to finish him. And Canelo let him get right back into it. And not because he wanted a competitive 12-round fight. It's because I don't think... Canelo said it after the fight. He's like, it's too many fights, too many camps. And the table that I was at, most of the guys were saying, like, and all these guys fought pro and fought pro for a long time. They were saying, this is too many camps at this level. This is too many fights at this level. This is too much weight jumping. Basically, like, you know, most of the guys were saying that Bivol fight, doing what he did, going back up to 75, whoever was advising him to do that should be fired from the team. Because to skip around weight like that is detrimental. All those guys were saying it. That they were, you know, and then, of course, it's a confidence killer. Because
I don't think they're wrong, but I think, and this isn't me aiming this at Renown, Paul, any of these guys,
right?
At all, but okay, and I'm repeating myself. I get what they're saying, but bro, just a win against Bivol and everything.
Oh, you're saying like the reward was worth the risk.
No, I'm saying the logic becomes moot if he won that.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Right. What they were more pointing out, less than the Bivol thing, was that we would count it, because we did that. We counted the amount of camps in like the last 3 years. And most of those guys were saying at this level, with the amount of press he has to do tied to it. Yeah. And two of the guys that brought up, they said, maybe that's why there wasn't so much press for this Triple G fight. Yeah. Canelo simply was like, I can't do it. Not that I can't physically do it. I don't want to.
No, it's too much.
It's just too much. So I think that we have now seen the best of Canelo. I hope I'm proved wrong, because I like Canelo. I really like Triple G. We were all kind of like a little melancholy, and I brought it up. I said, I'm picking Canelo. I'm hoping for Triple G. Everybody that was there was a big Triple G fan. And collectively, everybody that was there also made it a point to say, I couldn't believe the betting odds when Canelo fought Bivol, that Bivol was such a huge underdog. You and I said it on this show. Why are people shitting on this fight? This guy's really fucking good. Mm-hmm. You know, and he's big, and he's a real light heavyweight, and he's a world champion. So anyway, go ahead, Vinny. I'm sorry.
No, I was just thinking about like our picks, and I'm just wondering who was closer. Cause you thought he would get stopped.
Yeah.
And I was like, I think the old man's got, like, you know, one more, you know,
rabbit in his head.
And it'll be close.
Right.
And while 116, 112 is kind of a little bit close, it wasn't as close as that. It looked close because
Triple G came on late.
But I'm just saying that we both had it. 116, 1612, and I've seen fights that are really good that were 116 and 1.
Yeah, this was a top heavy fight for Canelo.
It was
I think we're going to see more of Canelo in the second half of what he looked like in the second half of this fight than we are of what he looked like in the first half of this fight. If that makes sense.
I don't know where he's going.
Canelo?
They're saying he wants a fucking rematch.
Yeah, he's got an ego the size of Mexico.
I mean, that's bad, man. If you're saying your guys who are pros, good fighters, one of them are two,
right?
Who had belts. I'm a little bit zapped, man. I'm
two-weight world champ. Tired. More importantly, in this context, in speaking about the camps, that's what they were talking about. In speaking of two of the guys that I was with, Tommy and Paulie, are both analysts. Obviously, Paulie's a more famous analyst and probably the best to ever do it. But
agreed.
Tommy's no schlep. Like when you watch him on any, he's a great analyst.
Yeah.
And they both said it's a lot of camps close together after 30 years old.
Yeah.
It's a lot of camps close together after 30 years old. And the amount of press and how famous he is, it gets harder.
You know? I don't see that run, to get to unify it at 68. I think that's done. Where he had like four in like what was it, 12 or 12?
It's going to be one or two fights a year, I think.
I agree. I think it's two a year.
It was six fights in like 18 months.
Yeah,
you know he was always on. I think we covered six of them on the show.
I think he's going to go. I think he's going to go. You know, Cinco de Mayo and Mexican Independence.
Right.
And that's it, you know, whereas before both of them were against high level competition, we might see one gimme. And by gimme, I don't mean like a hobo, but maybe a guy that's past his prime, a guy at the end.
Sure.
Anyway,
Triple G was pumping that jab. He started getting on his toes in the second half of the fight. It was nice to see. Canelo's jab was great in the beginning of the fight, so it was a nice little jab fest. The fight, I guess, from what I'm gathering, it was a little underwhelming for people. I thought it was fine.
We don't have to even discuss it. I'm just wondering what his was. He just waiting and hoping and waiting and hoping that Canelo would gas out and win the second half of the fight. You know,
I think getting that motor started at 40 takes a while, He's so rugged that once Canelo blew his load, in the first half, G was able to come on and Canelo was, you know, seemed tired. He suffered a cut, mm-hmm. headbutt, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. A headbutt. You know, other than that, it wasn't, I mean, it certainly wasn't a super exciting fight. Not like the first two; they were much more exciting. But it was a bit more of a tactical battle. Again, there's certain things that I hope you guys caught. If you weren't listening to the broadcast, which missed a lot of some of the really high level shit that both guys were doing.
Lots of tricky stuff, you know.
And I'm watching in a bar, like being distracted. We're having sidebar conversation. I haven't seen two of those guys since before the pandemic. So there was a lot of hey, remember when we went and did?
Yeah, of course.
X, Y, and Z, and we were talking about fights we were at like 7 or 8, 10 years ago together. With a couple of guys. So it was a lot of like, all right, let's shut the fuck up and watch. You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course.
I went and watched it again. I don't know if they did. But anyway, are we moving on?
Yeah. Hey, man, Israel Gonzalez, tough guy, man.
Yo, he's real good.
He's really good.
I said when we were watching that fight, I said, there's no way he's going to keep up this pace. And most of the table, I think, agreed with me. And one of the points that one of the guys that was there made, he said he's using his length really well. You know, he's staying out of range where he can. His arms are like fucking super long, that guy.
I wanted to talk about something real quick.
Go ahead.
When we talk about these weights, you know, because you and I, often talk about these guys and,
115? You know, how... little guys,
yeah, or 105 or right. or 108 or 112 or 15 or 18,
right?
What happens there is these guys come out of nowhere that you think, You know, he's got a few losses.
Right.
Look, these aren't weights that are stacked, and they're also not stacked with stars.
Right.
So these dudes come in and you're like, he's got 2, 3, 4 losses. Bam's on another level. And then some guy comes up and he's supposed to lose, and no one gave him the message
yeah.
that he's supposed to
Bam lose. Was whacking him in his nuts.
Uh-huh.
Got a point taken. Ultimately, you know, Bam wore him down, cut him.
Absolutely.
Hurt him. But yeah, what a tough night. And probably good for him to get.
I agree.
If they really want to match Bam with it'll be in their best interest not to give him interim bouts.
A couple, you know, what I feel like is a couple great, really good to great wins back to back, put him in with Israel Gonzalez, and sometimes guys just aren't up for.
Yeah, but Israel Gonzalez is good. Like, dude, I didn't pay attention to his record until I'm watching the fight, and he has good wins. And his only losses are like, I think he lost to Chuck Liddell, right?
Yeah, no, and he's good.
And he gave him all he could handle. Yeah,
he's good. Look, he didn't get stopped by Chuck Liddell.
No,
Chuck Liddell for those weights parks people.
Right.
No, by no stretch of the imagination was he a soft touch. I just think they're certainly at a young age, you are thinking about the potential big fight, and that is the winner of the Chocolatito
Estrada fight, right?
Estrada fight. I think that's where his head was at, you know.
Yeah, and I mean.
I think it took a little while for him to be like, this guy's no joke. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, there was a couple like walkbacks to the corner, like, fuck, man, this guy's good.
This guy can fight.
So it looks like Eddie Hearn and the matchmakers are thinking that sort of what we touched on, that Estrada's kind of past it, Chuck Liddell should beat him, because they're already basically making Chuck Liddell Bam. And that'll happen after. These guys fight in November, right? Chuck Liddell and
I think Estrada? December.
December? Okay.
Yeah, early, week.
Right, he's getting right back in. So we'll probably see Chuck Liddell Bam
in the one spring.
I also think they need to give Bam a little bit of a rest. Give him a little bit of a reprieve.
I do too, after Chuck Liddell.
Right. Okay. Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, I'm saying now to the spring, give Bam a break.
I agree. Three real guys that can fight in a row.
What'd you think of Ammo?
Well, Kieran Conway was not really.
Yeah.
It's tough, man. It's tough at this. There's always this weird time for guys where you're like, all right. This kid is good. This kid can crack. We don't want to put him in against a monster yet.
Right.
We don't, but you don't want him in there with a hobo.
Right.
And it's.
So you give him a tough out. See how he handles it.
Yeah. And see how he handles it.
He handled it.
He's like, he loops some shots, man.
He was trying to score a big knockout, big punch, trying to land a big punch. Got to let those punches come to you. I think hopefully someone can, you know, kind of curtail that.
When guys do that, when guys start, it's very difficult when. Like you're saying, like guys are trying to. He's trying to just blow this guy out, you know.
Yeah.
Pull this guy out.
Right.
You know, I'm sorry, bro. I'm zapped because I have a brutal headache. So I'm like,
cough hangover.
No, not at all.
You're hanging out with that Irish Billy.
Never. I have a really bad, what is it called? Help me, idiot.
You have a migraine?
What is it called? Yeah. But I'm not able to articulate what I'm.
You have an Excedrin headache?
but ammo is not throwing his shots the way that he should. Look at me, bro. I honestly can't.
Yeah, dude. Are you about to tap?
Yeah. Yeah. I think I'm about to croak.
Don't go dying on me. Don't go in the bathroom.
Yeah, that's exactly what you said.
That's what people die in the bathroom.
No, I guess what I'm trying to say is, man, is he isn't. He's showing that he is not capable of throwing shots without looping his shot.
I'm saying, yeah. So instead of throwing more traditional straight shots, he doesn't do that. He's formed these bad habits where he's throwing these looping shots because probably they work in the gym. He's athletic enough.
And it hasn't caught up to him yet.
Right. So, there might be a quick pity pat guy that can get in and out and punch in between those power shots, because that's what you need to do. You have to punch with a guy like that and hope to not, get the shit kicked out of you.
All right, what about this? How about this Shakur Stevenson?
Listen, I'm not happy with him. That's a fucking...
Neither am I.
So I want to tell people why, because we got some notes from people. We got some tweets from people. Both of us were tagged in a few different things, and I got some DMs what I thought about it. Here's what I think about it. I want to save it for the show.
Okay.
It's really fucking unprofessional. He could have canceled the whole card. So in the state of New Jersey, if one guy misses weight and the other guy makes weight, unlike some other commissions, the opponent, in this case, Concieso, he gets paid. Okay. Which we found out later was like $250,000.
Yeah.
To Shakur Stevenson's $3 million. That's a ridiculous.
When you told me that.
That number is crazy,
right?
So in my opinion,
it's a huge discrepancy between champion and challenger.
Anyway, yeah, of course.
With that said, to keep the show going, Shakur paid him an extra $150,000 out of his purse, which again, he shrugs his shoulders at it like it's no big deal because he made $3 million. And of course, I know it's not $3 million total. There's a breakdown in taxes, blah, blah, blah. But $150,000 at that point doesn't mean shit to Shakur. He was a pound and a half over. It didn't appear that he made any attempt to really make the weight. He declares he's moving up to 135 pounds afterwards. So that's even more of a sour note with me. That if you don't, why did you sign that? You signed the contract to make 130 pounds. Make the weight. It's professional. This is what you agreed to do. You could have vacated the belts if you wanted to. You could have gone to 35 right after you beat Oscar Valdez. Instead, you hung on to the belts. You wanted a defense. You got a big payday, and you didn't make the weight. That's what we're going to remember. And then you had a pretty uneventful fight against Concieso. Yes, you won wide on the scorecards, as you were expected to. This fight did nothing for your career. And now the sour taste in everyone's mouth is that you missed weight, seemingly because it was too tough to make, and you didn't bother the other pound and a half.
When you when they announced that fight, when I announced that fight, I told you I didn't like it, and you said I was a bozo.
No, I think Ken Cieso deserved it. Why didn't you like it? You didn't like what? What did you like about it?
I just felt like this was going to happen.
You felt like he was going to miss weight?
Mm-hmm. I do.
Okay. Why is he missed weight in the past?
No, but I could see it coming. Consecau is good.
Anyway, the point I'm making is don't miss fucking weight. It's fucked up. You almost blew the whole fucking. So now if this guy just said, fuck it, give me my 250K and walked, right? Which he's entitled to do because he made the weight. The other guy didn't.
Yep.
Shakur would have blown up. So this is guys, when you guys, the chain reaction or the, not the chain reaction, the reason why I'm missing weight as the marquee fighter, as the A side, because you never hear about the B side missing weight, right? They never miss weight because they can't afford it. He could have ruined the entire fucking show. An ESPN spot. This isn't on Plus either. This is regular fucking ESPN.
Yep.
The whole undercard gets fucked, right? Because no one watches it. And this is what I'm talking about as it being unprofessional. You're the headliner. You're the reason why people are tuning in. No one else on that fight. They're tuning in for you. And you fucking blow weight. And then you're arrogant about it. And you don't really care. You announce that you're going up to 35 to fucking take scalps or, you know, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, really not. You should be apologetic. And you should cough up more than 150K. Sorry. I think, do you want these guys to make weight? Say, mandatory, your fucking, half of your fucking purse is gone. If you fucking miss weight, guaranteed they'll all fucking make weight or they won't sign the contract in the first place and they'll move up ahead of time.
I wanted to say something about it. You tell me, help me out. Mm. I can't think of someone who didn't make weight, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who has been more There was no it was just okay.
Right. Yeah, it was too hard to make, sorry. Yeah.
I mean now a lot of that comes from Top Rank, ESPN, and Andre Ward making excuses for him. But in general, it was very
flippant.
The whole thing, B.
Yeah, I agree.
To me, in terms of thinking about other people that have missed weight, you know, before, over the year. Right. I'm talking 10 years, 15 years, 20 right. years. It's always like, this motherfucker. And it's like a huge deal.
I remember like Bernard was a pound over recently. You know, recently in terms of Bernard fighting, you know, as he was an older fighter.
Uh-huh.
And he like, they gave him like, what do they give you? A couple hours to like lose the weight or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And he came back and he made the weight. And like, how'd you make the weight? He's like, I took a shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like I took a shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And I rode a bike and I needed to take a shit and I took a shit. And, I was joking with one of my friends. I was like a pound and a half. I was like, go take a shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. It's just, like you said, it was just like, nah, I'm not going to do it. He probably decided earlier in the week. He was, if I don't make it, I don't make it.
I thought he knew at least a week.
Yeah. If not a week by Wednesday or Tuesday. And he was like, fuck it. If I make it, great. But we're not killing ourselves here. You know, not, you know, for this.
I'm going to
dump the belts anyway. But now it's like sullied. I don't know, you know. Instead
I'm
going
to say
vacating,
one thing, man. With him going to 35, he got hit by not a few, a lot of right hands. But right. Consecau can't crack, and there's some goons at 35.
Yeah,
he got hit by a lot of right hands, and that is. In my opinion, the way that people were missing what happened in a lot of rounds in Canelo Golovkin,
mm-hmm.
And you said, the same way. I felt the same way because this guy is with Top Rank. This guy is managed or aided by Ward.
Right.
They didn't say once. I'm not talking, he slipped a shot and just got touched a little bit. I'm talking
shots.
Right on the button.
Right. Well,
again, I apologize tonight.
Yeah, it's
guys,
look,
because there's a few things with him.
There's a few things with this guy. He fights down to competition, so maybe that's it. You know what I mean? He missed weight. That's distracting. But yeah, I agree with you. He's got to tighten that fucking shit up if he goes to 35. And he's going to apparently go to 35. He's called everybody out. I think he does really well there. But I don't like the whole, I signed a contract, make the weight. If anything, just ask for a catch weight ahead of time so your opponent doesn't have to kill himself, you know? But then, of course, the belts wouldn't be on the line. So anyway, what's next for Shakur? I'd like to see him fight any of the top dogs at 35. Best of luck to him.
Do you think that he fights the hobo first? I hope not.
I hope not.
I have a feeling he's going to.
Well, I think it's going to be Haney within a year when Haney beats Kambosos.
You don't think Lomachenko will fight him and first?
Fight Shakur?
Yeah. No. Fight Haney.
Fight Haney? Oh, yeah, right.
That's what I don't know. That's what I hope happens.
I agree. And if that's the case, I know then they'll probably Shakur or Loma will be a fight.
Yeah.
Anyway.
What do you think about Chris Eubank?
Yeah, so okay. I put on the thing 54 because on like Ring Mag it says junior middleweight. Is that where they're fighting at?
Dude, I don't know where.
I don't understand why. I mean, I get why, because I think there's like tons of fucking money on the line. But Eubank, who's been campaigning as a middleweight, right? Super middleweight, is going to be sucking down a ton of weight, correct? And Conor Benn, who's like up and coming, like this isn't the time for that, in my opinion, right? This is a guy that just knocked out a former world champ. This is a guy that looks spectacular. Against a guy like Sammy Vargas, like a young, you know, he's young, he's explosive. He's just building a name for himself. Why are they, I guess, just to
be, this is one of the strangest fights.
Timing is so weird. I can see
a guy that fights at 168 and is fighting at super middle and another guy that's fighting at welter. And is it definitely 54 or is it a weird catch?
It said junior middleweight. So that's why I just put 54 down. I mean,
how is he getting 14 pounds?
I don't know. The whole thing seems fucking insane to me.
Me too. It's so insane that I don't know how to break it down.
I don't care to break it down because it's like a freak show.
It is.
October 8th. It's on DAZN pay-per-view over there.
Yeah.
We get it for a regular rate at 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Tell me what you think is going to happen.
I'm going to say Eubank Jr. is old now. Conor Benn's young. I'm going to go with youth here. I think Eubank is going to be too sucked out. And I think Benn wins a boring decision.
I like Conor Benn a lot. I don't like this fight. I think he should be fighting really good guys at welter. It's time now.
Right.
Like we always talk about on this show, we don't live there. We don't understand these huge UK fights. You know what I mean? We'll do a fucking million buys just over there.
Right.
Which is insane. So I guess we don't have any understanding of that. It's just weird to me.
Yeah, this is fucking massive. So they're gonna fucking do it, and it seems strange to me the timing.
Conor Benn is the better fighter if you take away if you take away size, the only thing that the only thing that
Eubank has in his
Eubank
advantage.
Has is the size. You know, he's older. I think what you said is pretty much how I feel about it. I think he's just gonna box his ears off.
Right. And I mean, we have seen guys come down and then get hurt. I don't think he's gonna get hurt enough to make a difference.
I mean, do you see something like, Bad Chad when he fought Ward,
Yeah. Maybe, yeah, like that. The little guy's now taking away the big guy's advantage by making him come down. And I think, I don't necessarily know if it's going to be a knockout, but I don't think Eubank's going to have much in the tank to go 12. I mean, much in the tank to be effective, excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'll go, it's a 12-rounder, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to go 12.
I think it might be it might be 10, but I don't know.
It's weird. Anyway.
Sebastian Fondora.
Yeah,
Carlos Ocampo.
Very excited. Same. That's the same day, October 8th. I'm excited
Carlos
to see him.
Carlos Ocampo
back.
Lost to Errol Spence at 47.
Yeah. This will be at 54.
What do you think?
Knockout. Fondora's going to beat him up. Knock him out.
When?
7th round.
I think the 7th or 8th. I got to pick one of them?
No.
All right.
You could be vague. It's all right. We'll give you a couple of mulligans here.
Fernando Martinez, Jervin Ancias rematch.
Yeah, I'm excited for this. If you guys remember the first one, this was like high excitement. This should be fun. I'm going to go ahead. I don't know. Ancias lost the last one. I think Martinez is on a roll. I think Martinez is going to beat him. Decision again. There's a lot of punches thrown in this fight. This was fun. It was like a surprise, unexpected, fun fight. Who you got?
Thank you.
Oh, boy, he's thinking.
I am. I'm going to go with Fernando Martinez, close fight, split decision.
Okay. And then we got Carlos Adames and Juan Macias Montiel. I think Adames is going to win big here. I got to go with the New York guy. He's a Washington Heights guy.
I mean, those look.
The guy Macias Montiel is very primitive.
Those guys, Dominican dudes can always got can crack.
Yeah.
I
think Adames, he beat Derevchenko. He's good. I think he's actually going to stop Macias Montiel mid rounds. Stop him, knock him out.
I'm trying to think of who. See, he has 5 losses, but
he kind of stinks.
I think he stops him.
Yeah.
I think he stops him in 6.
Okay. We got mail.
All right.
Billy.
Do we have mail?
Yeah, man.
Give me a second here. You got to give me a warning sign.
Why do we have to do that?
We got mail.
So all right.
An itinerary.
We got mail.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, Billy, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks.
It's great to have you.
Welcome me to the show. I feel like I'm going to croak with this headache.
All right. Well, luckily, the mailbag is the fans are sticking to keeping it short and sweet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you, guys. I just wanted to thank you guys for that. When I looked through or peeped through this week, I saw it's concise and succinct, as Mr. Paz put that out there into our lexicon.
Mm-hmm.
This guy's very, he's very articulate, this Vinny Paz.
Not tonight.
No. You're like, I think something happened to you.
This is the worst I've ever done on the show. My head hurts so bad, I can't even. It's crazy.
Taking shots in the head.
Probably.
All right. This one is from Joe Stagliano. What's up, guys? A couple things. I'll be quick. I really enjoyed what I saw.
Oh, this fucking guy.
It's breaking up. There. We're a turd.
Jesus Christ.
Wi-Fi. We can't understand.
And you're frozen.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
His phone is a turd.
This guy wants to be involved. From episode one, even the lost episodes, he says, I want to be involved. Let me read the mail.
I was forced to be involved.
I'll be the mail guy. I'll be the mail guy. I'll be the mailman.
All right, start over again, please. I have no idea what you said.
Me neither.
Can you guys hear me?
We can.
Now, until you start again.
Pay your cable bill.
Yeah.
No, now it's frozen again.
All right. Wrap the show up. Mailbag next week.
That's it? What? You want to just call it?
Wrap it up. Mailbag right. Next week.
All right.
Sorry, guys.
This Irish.
We're gonna edit this.
No, we hate Billy.
We're gonna leave this mulligan in. This is like the worst episode ever.
Nah, leaving it in.
Oh God.
Let's give him B. Give him your.
I'm out of sorts now.
Yeah.
It's well, guys, write us at KOTB box maybe.
Yeah.
I don't even know what the fucking point is now.
Right, because this Irish Billy. Has a turd computer and a turd phone.
He's on like a word processor talking to us.
He is.
What happened, Billy? You used to be beautiful.
No, he's grumpy. He's like, leave him alone.
I don't blame him. He had to, you know.
Nobody can hear me anyway, so let me stew in my own misery over here.
Yeah.
All right, you guys can find me at TheKillerB24 on Twitter and I_no_that_kid. KEOTBboxing@gmail.com. Like, follow, subscribe, rate. Do what you guys got to do to get this fucking thing blown up. All right.
Mm-hmm.
We want to be on DAZN.
Absolutely.
We should fucking be on DAZN.
Absolutely,
you know what?
We should.
Here's what I want you to do. Here's the assignment. And CC us on it at KEOTBboxing. I want you guys to write DAZN. All right. And tell them that you want me and Vinny as the, we don't need a play by play guy. All right. We don't need a blow by blow. We just need two superb analysts calling these fights. And you know, just let the fans speak.
Mm-hmm.
Vinny,
mm-hmm.
Where can they find you?
First and foremost, I want to apologize to everyone for the headache and me being zapped.
Well, don't apologize for a headache. You can't control that.
At least half of the show I was kind of zapped.
You're sort of like Canelo in the second half of the fight.
Yep. On Twitter, it's @Vinny_Paz. On Instagram, it's BoxCutterPazzy. And as far as
what's your friends there?
I don't know what that is, but JMT Hip Hop. Billy, is that it?
JMTHipHop.com?
Yes, sir.
Yo,
no, I don't think it is.
No, it's not. JMT store.
JMTstore.com for all anything music related.
I just made one up.
Yeah. All right, y'all. We'll see you next time.
Peace, peace. Knock him out. Knock him out the box, pass. Knock him out. Knock him out the box, B. Knock him out.